Hello, and welcome to Music Business, a show about reclaiming the sound and dismantling the system. Through investigative deep dives and candid conversations, we'll uncover the music industry. We will be featuring artists, insiders, independent and major label heads, and tech innovators. We'll break down the dualities of the business, industry versus artist, fans versus corporation, and tradition versus innovation. From streaming and direct-to-fan models to AI-driven music creation, we are here to ask, how do we reclaim the sound? And what does the future of the music industry look like? Let's get started. Today, we have two current event topics, the Grammys and the Super Bowl. Before diving into the Grammys, let's talk about an event that reshaped this year's ceremonies. Let me get serious for a second. The devastating Los Angeles wildfires that burned over 2,300 acres across LA really impacted our community as well as brought us together. I was evacuated by the Sunset fires, but I was way luckier than so many that lost everything. My heart goes out to everyone that was affected, especially the music community. I'll be sharing ways to help and get help in this show if you are part of the music community and were impacted by any of the Los Angeles fires. The music world responded very quickly, which isn't always the case. And I actually have to give it up for our major label corporation, Universal Music Group. They were one of the first ones to come to the table and immediately cancel their iconic Grammy after party. They redirected those funds to relief efforts for the fire immediately. I heard some podcasters speculate that these funds were a way to save money, but I didn't find that true. I found a lot of the major record labels like Universal Music Group just reallocated party funds to charitable organizations in need, which I think was totally appropriate. And the way that they pivoted so quickly was really nice to see. In any corporate environment in America, it's really hard to make decisions quickly. So it was nice to see, for example, Universal Music Group partner with the Red Cross and Music Cares to provide aid, and their artists stepped up as well. Universal Music Group got together with Interscope Records, which is underneath UMG, and got Lady Gaga to participate and fundraise despite her incredibly packed schedule. She took the time and probably the pay cut to contribute to this cause. It's not like a regular performance where they're getting paid a bunch of money to do this. They are literally doing this probably at a pay cut or not getting paid at all to fundraise money for the fires. It was great to see Universal Music Group had label artists such as Lady Gaga on Interscope, despite her packed schedule, having artists like that take the time to contribute. It seems like whenever there is a natural disaster, there's automatically organizations that come behind to try to fundraise for the wrong reasons, the wrong cause, and not even necessarily for a cause. Taylor Swift also promoted charities, and I really think that this helped fans avoid donation scams that often emerge in disaster aftermaths. When a major artist like Taylor backs a cause, you feel a little bit better about donating to it. It feels a little bit more legit, because most likely it's been vetted by her team as a real charity. So if she's donating to it, her team's probably done the due diligence and research to make sure that it's going to the proper cause and not a scam. I also want to acknowledge the Recording Academy for their continued support with Music Cares. The Grammys, despite the challenges, went on as planned. February 2nd, they honored both the musical achievements and the resilience of LA. I thought they did a beautiful job of balancing both. The vibes were definitely different this year than in years past. It was less celebration and more gratitude. But that was great because the end result produced $24 million for the wildfire disaster relief just from the Grammys. I heard on some podcasts, critics questioned the Academy asking celebrities all the way down to people watching the Grammys at home for donations. I didn't have a problem with this. But I think we need to remind everybody, the Recording Academy is a nonprofit. The Grammys are the one day of the year when all eyes are on the Recording Academy where they can fundraise. It is music's biggest night. All eyes are on them. Fundraise away. I'm sure people don't know, but if you're going to the Grammys and you're a Recording Academy member or a guest of, someone has purchased your ticket. These tickets aren't given away. Again, they're a nonprofit. The Grammys are their night. People are buying tickets to this event to support the Grammys, to support the Recording Academy. Every Academy member, every record label buys their own tickets. And it's up to you to get with your accountant and tax deduct those donations. But major labels to independent labels and independent members of the Academy are paying major cash for their tickets, and they're going directly to the Recording Academy. This is our night to fundraise. And if you love music, supporting Music Cares is one of the best ways to give back. It actually goes to the music artists that are in need directly. Now, let's talk about the Grammys, starting with the red carpet. The biggest name on the red carpet this year wasn't even in music. Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you know, Bianca Censori, Kanye's wife, Ye's wife, was the talk of the town in the red carpet. I heard a lot of discussion around if she was forced to do it, had to do it, wanted to do it, looked scared, was confident. My hot take is Kanye's been in the public eye for a while. He knows what he's doing. Everything is strategic. He literally set out to be the most Googled person there, and he was. Kanye knows exactly what he's doing. He's been in the business long enough to know what he's doing. They both decided to do it. They did it. Her and her see-through dress were more Googled around the Grammys than Taylor Swift Queen herself. I'm sure everybody saw his anti-Semitic comments on Twitter to promote Yeezy sales. He does these things to spark a reaction so we all turn around and watch in a time where we're fed so much clutter. You have to do things like that to break through. Point being with that on his Twitter rant is that the man knows what he's doing to get attention. She said yes. He said, let's go. And it worked. And we're all talking about it. We're still talking about it. The word Yeezy is coming out of her mouth. The word Kanye is coming out of her mouth. He is winning. He's winning. He knows what he's doing. And we're all following along. Look, the man is a musical genius. He's a marketing genius. Do I think the comments are right? Do I think the dress code's right? Not at all. But he knows what he's doing. It worked. We're all talking about it. He kind of takes the win card on that one, huh? Not that I like to admit it, but he kind of won that game. Did anything else happen on the red carpet? Not really. Honestly, they kind of stole the show. And nothing else was really brought up on the red carpet. I mean, there was like best dress, worst dress, but this is a podcast about music business. This is not a podcast about fashion. So other than best and worst dress, nothing really happened on the red carpet but Kanye West and his wife. So Kanye, your marketing scheme, it worked. Congratulations. Feel free to come on the podcast and talk about it, Kanye. Open invitation. Now, let's get into the Grammy ceremony. I've attended the Grammys every way possible. I'm a Recording Academy member. I've been for years and years and years now to the Grammys. I've sat floor seats to nosebleeds, from dress rehearsals to after parties. But let's talk about the actual ceremony itself. The production is a science. There's 1 to 4 stages pretty much set up at any given time, even though you may only be seeing one of those on TV. So they may be having a performance on the left side of the stage that looks like it's taking up the whole stage on TV, but really it's only taking up a half a stage while they set up for the next performance on the other stage. And by they, I mean the people behind the scenes did an incredible job. It's really hard to make a performance look great in person and have it transferred to the TV and look great there as well. Seems like sometimes one pulls more than the other. Obviously, in this case, are we trying to impress 20,000 people or 15.4 million? Most likely 15.4 million. And I thought they did a really good job of that. Everybody in the back deserves to be front and center with a standing ovation, rounding applause. The only set that I thought looked better in person versus TV was The Weeknd's. With the 4K broadcast that they have now, it really cuts through the stage smoke. Stage smoke does not transfer well from the arena to national television. With the 4K, you see through the fog, where you can't see through the fog if you're actually sitting in your seat on the floor of the Grammys. But when you're watching on TV, you can see the 4K cut through the fog, and it just looks a little bit more awkward. So I thought The Weeknd with the smoke, it was way cooler in the arena than it was watching it on TV on a playback. because sometimes technology works against the art. And in this case, I thought The Weeknd's performance and the dancers with their hands coming out of those platforms really looked sick when you were sitting on the floor looking up because you couldn't see through the smoke. But on TV, you could see through the smoke. So the hands just didn't look as creepy and scary. But that was my only caveat. I thought everything else transferred beautifully. And honestly, those performances, the set design, the transformations, the transitions, like hats off to the production squad, hats off to the people behind the scenes. It was an incredible Grammys when it comes to performance. Moving on to the performances and wins, I love that the artists this year really took the time to have their speeches highlight important causes to them, especially with what we have going on in the world. Fires aside, there are so many other hot topics right now that need to come to light, and I love that these artists use their platforms during their speeches to highlight their important causes. Shakira, first off, Shakira looks like she has not aged a day since I originally heard her decades ago. She won Best Latin Pop Album and dedicated her award to immigrants. It was definitely powerful. It was definitely an authentic moment within the Recording Academy, and she definitely looked fly doing it. Chappell Roan. I could do a whole podcast on Chappell Roan. I would love to do a whole podcast on Chappell Roan with Chappell Roan. After winning Best New Artist, she called for a better support for musicians, healthcare, fair wages, and even challenged the industry executives to donate. Some critics pushed back. We all know who I'm talking about. But the people in the room really supported her. And her performance was literally just pure energy. I felt it watching TV. I felt the energy just as much as when I saw it in the morning for dress rehearsals. My favorite performance, which I did not see coming, was Doechii. She made history winning Best Rap Album for Alligator Bites Never Heal, and she became only the third woman to do so. She knew she had to bring it, and she did. Talk about kicking off Black History Month. This woman is the full package. Singing, dancing, flipping all at once, flipping while singing and dancing. It was insane. It was insane. I was not ready for it. She brought it. Whew, I'll be watching her. And then there's one of my personal favorites, Lady Gaga, a lifelong advocate of the LGBTQIA+ community. She's been holding it down for that group from day one. When she speaks, it's truth. She and Bruno Mars won Best Pop Duo Group Performance for Die With a Smile. And in her speech, she made it clear. It was so powerful, I'm going to quote it. I quote, "Trans people are not invisible. Trans people deserve love. The queer community deserves to be lifted up. Music is love. Thank you." End quote. There was a standing ovation within the room, even from Beyonce, Charlie XCX, and Billie Eilish. They led the applause. Well, we can't talk Grammys without talking Beyonce, and I will do a full podcast around Beyonce and her Grammys. Beyonce finally won Album of the Year for Cowboy Carter, her first in this category. She also won Best Country Album, becoming the first Black woman in Grammy history to do so. She is the most awarded artist in Grammy history, and this is another milestone. And let's be honest, without Beyonce at the Grammys, would anyone even watch? I don't think that sponsors think so. I don't think that the Recording Academy thinks so. I don't think we think so. When Beyonce attends the Grammys, there is statistical evidence that shows more people watch. I'm here for it. I love Beyonce. Do I think she needed to come win Best Country Album? Unpopular opinion of mine would be no. But we're going to talk about that in a whole episode later coming up. There were a couple people that I thought got robbed at the Grammys this year, and that would have to be Billie Eilish, who had a fantastic album and walked away with nothing, as well as Queen herself, Taylor Swift. She was nominated in 6 categories and walked away with 0 wins. As a Swiftie, I was shocked. I think as anybody watching, they were shocked. Personally, Tortured Poets Department, I thought was one of her best albums. Taylor handled it so well, she stayed engaged and even presented an award with class per the usual. I know this is about the music business and not about fashion, But I would love to talk to her stylist that decided to go short dress versus long dress. I feel like the Grammys just deserve a long dress, and she's done that in years past. I mean, she's definitely got the legs to pull off the short dress, but I thought that that was an interesting choice. I would love to learn more on that. If anybody has any intel, pop off in the comments. Another notable moment that we're definitely going to talk about in future music business podcast shows is video game music finally got recognized. The Grammys for Best Score Soundtrack for Video Games went to Wizardry, Proving Grounds of the Mad Overlord, a remake of the 1981 game. I don't know what that means, but I do know that video game music is where it's at. If you're an artist, independent or major, video game music is what's up. And we're going to talk more about that in future episodes because gaming is shaping music. Now let's move on to the after parties. Usually there are amazing after parties. At the beginning of this episode, I started talking about Universal Music Group. Universal Music Group has the sickest, most coveted, hard to get in after party, and it is a blast. I mean, everybody that you're accidentally running into is famous. Like, I think I'm the biggest loser at the party. You cannot walk to get a drink without running into some A-list music artist. It's amazing. The party's amazing. They definitely, like I said before, you know, pivoted this year. They didn't have it. A lot of other corporations took that note. There really were no after parties. There were some private after parties, but a lot of people went to dinner. They kind of hung out in small groups with their friends. I went to Soho West Hollywood for a while, and then I was at Chateau for a bit. When I was at Chateau, I saw Charlie XCX, Machine Gun Kelly. I mean, no surprise there, but that was a vibe, but definitely a lower key vibe. People were kind of like stayed to themselves at their own tables. It wasn't a party, which was kind of the whole tone of the Grammys. I want to wrap this up with a quick plug for all those artists out there that are in Los Angeles and were impacted by the wildfires. If you're a promoter, a manager, an agent, book an LA-based artist that was affected by the fires. Book an LA-based artist. Artists, producers. If you're an artist, if you're a producer, collaborate with your peers. Collaborate with a peer who lost everything. Obviously, if you can donate to Support Music Cares and other legitimate music charities, I think it's great that the Academy asked people to donate to Music Cares, even if they just love music. If we can't keep our music community going, we're not going to have good music out there for people to keep listening to. Okay, let's get into Super Bowl. Super Bowl went down on February 9th. Kicking things off, none other than the insanely talented Jon Batiste. Jon Batiste gave an incredible national anthem performance. What I loved about this is he's actually a New Orleans native. And on top of being a multi-Grammy winning artist and powerhouse musician, he actually has a musical legacy in the city. The first time I saw him perform was at the Grammys a few years ago, and I was blown away. That was one of my probably favorite Grammy performances of all time. Definitely top five. Definitely top five. I thought his performance at the Super Bowl was super top-notch. He's that type of artist that's like, oh, you want me to sing a really hard song like the national anthem? Sounds great. I'm just going to add some piano keys and add a little jazz to pay homage to my hometown city of New Orleans in the music a little bit. You guys cool with that? I'm going to do all that. Anyways, I thought the performance was amazing. Did you know you can bet on the national anthem at the Super Bowl in Vegas? I believe it's over under of the time, which I feel like is kind of an easy bet because wouldn't you just look up all their past performances? And then if they're a diva, just like add on a little bit of time at the end because you know they're going to soak up those last minutes on those big, massive national anthem riffs. Anyways, I digress. Okay, let's get into the halftime show. What some of America believes to be the only important time of the game. I thought that halftime show was spectacular. Kendrick Lamar delivered. There's so much around this on the internet. It's hard to keep it all on track. I did a pros and cons list for Kendrick at the halftime show. So kicking off the pros, obviously this was a historic milestone. Kendrick didn't just perform. He made literal history with the first solo rapper to headline the Super Bowl ever, which also pushed hip hop into space it's never been. This could be a pro or a con, but I thought this was a pro. This was not your typical lights and fireworks halftime show like in all the years past. Kendrick brought a theatrical, political performance I really thought it blended storytelling with striking visuals. I really thought it had artistic innovation. So I took that as a pro. Okay, Samuel L. Jackson is definitely a pro. Him playing Uncle Sam was amazing. And again, I love that Kendrick made sure that his set was entertainment and a statement. And obviously, one of the main pros when we're talking about business is they had a record-breaking viewership. 133.5 million viewers watched this halftime show. This was one of the most watched halftime shows of all time. But that's the type of artist that Kendrick is. And that's the type of data, and that's what the NFL used to support their decision-making process. The halftime show also had some cons. Not that I believe in them all, but I do want to lay them out here because they are getting very popular on social media and other places. So let's talk about the con. I don't agree with this one, but I get this one. Some people felt like it turned this giant music platform into a personal rap battle between Drake and Kendrick. And if you're listening to this podcast and you're in music, I don't need to tell you about Drake and Kendrick. But if you're not, I'll just tell you, they don't like each other and they've made it very publicly known through their music and interviews. They are not okay. And I really think a performance should bring us together, especially a performance at the Super Bowl. That should bring us together. I feel like this kind of divided us a bit. When Kendrick played Not Like Us, that was awesome. I don't think he was supposed to play it, or at least there was this media tag that he wasn't supposed to play it, and he ended up performing it anyways. So hats off to him for staying true to that artistry, especially on a major platform like the halftime show at the Super Bowl. Another con that I found, this performance shook up the music world, but there was also some legal and social fallout to it as well. Kendrick's feud with Drake is just escalating. We're all paying attention to it. It's all we can talk about. It's just making Drake more money. It's making Kendrick more money. It's making the NFL more money. But it started all this legal drama, and now we're going to be hearing about this again for media cycle after media cycle. When will it stop? How many times can they sue each other? How many times can they have diss tracks to each other? I thought another con was that there was missed local representation in the Super Bowl halftime performer. Kendrick's from Compton, California. Somebody like Lil Wayne, he's from New Orleans, and he equally has the same clout to stand on as Kendrick, especially over the course of a longer period of time in the music industry. I want to just real quick go into Kendrick versus Lil Wayne and who's the bigger artist that could have performed at the Super Bowl. So Lil Wayne was spoken about being the halftime performer, which would make more sense to the city of New Orleans. And he, we could argue, is of the same clout and has the same clout, if not potentially even more clout, as Kendrick Lamar. But I wanted to do a deep dive into see who's the bigger artist, because obviously the NFL picked Kendrick for some reason. And I'm sure some of it was how many viewers they were going to have. I'm sure a lot of it was based on the data. So I just wanted to compare them as an artist and see if I agree or disagree with the NFL selecting Kendrick from Compton over Lil Wayne from New Orleans, where the Super Bowl was. Both are legends, no doubt, but their influence hits differently depending what you're measuring. So it made this project a little bit more entertaining to analyze. Culturally, Kendrick Lamar is a once-in-a-generation lyricist. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner. His albums are studied in college courses. The way he's balanced rap and social issues is impactful. If you look at commercial success and longevity, Lil Wayne takes the cake, though. He's been in the game since the 90s. Mixtape king, more Billboard Hot 100 hits than almost anyone, and he's definitely paved the way for modern rap. There is definitely some Lil Wayne vibes in other cultural icons like Young Thug and Travis Scott. And here's where I found it interesting that they picked Kendrick, because if you're looking at numbers, Lil Wayne has sold more records overall. But when Kendrick does something, everybody in the country pays attention. So I think it's hard to pick because with different styles, different eras, both legends. I do think, though, with the New Orleans play, the NFL had a golden opportunity to give home field advantage to Lil Wayne, and they gave it to Kendrick. And Kendrick did an amazing job. Either way, history was made. I just thought that was really interesting that Kendrick is from Compton and the NFL didn't really back the city of New Orleans with their musicians as much as they could have, especially when icons like Lil Wayne are also from New Orleans. That would be arguably comparable and potentially superior. I thought the performance was incredible. You know, there's pros, there's cons. Either way, I definitely think it's a performance that will continue to be talked about and will be talked about for years to come when it comes to the Super Bowl. So essentially, you know, the NFL and Kendrick, they did their job. 133.5 million viewers. What a win-win-win for everyone involved. What a home run. Is that the right sport? No, that's not the right sport. Thanks for tuning in to our first episode. We'll see you here next week at Music Business.